What's going on, everybody? It is Chris Aiken from the Classic Metal Show and Aftershocks TV. And before we get to this next episode, I just wanted to remind you that I have a book out there called And Other Things I Should Not Say. It is about the absolute debauchery that raged in my world when I was stationed overseas in Korea, as well as a little bit of Arizona and some basic training and AIT stories as well. It's kind of my military book. It is wild, friends. I'm going to tell you now, it is definitely not biblical reading. So make sure you go over and get it. It's on Amazon.com or my website, Chris Aiken Books, and Other Things I Should Not Say. Get it now if you're bold enough to dare, all right? All right, here's the episode you actually came to see.
You're on the Classic Metal Show featuring Dee Snider on lead vocal with Blood and Bullets from the CD of the same name. And not sure what's wrong with Darren in the chat room. It says Dee stinks.
Because Dee's a fucking hard lib.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Fight again. And I love Dee. So I don't give a shit what his politics are, but. For a guy that went to fucking Washington to stand up for free speech, he's really being a cuck lately.
I don't follow social media, so I have no idea what he's posting out there or anything, but
he's of the Drumpf camp.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Here's a guy who went up against Tipper Gore, who was, you know, a Democrat party, obviously married to Al Gore. And he was protesting, you know, the whole PMRC thing when she was spearheading that whole movement.
Yeah.
But yet he's a Drumpf guy, huh?
Yeah. He's a anybody but Orange Man guy.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of weird because I gotta wonder if people are influenced by just the media, what they think they hear or know. Or if they actually look into things, because Trump was probably one of the most pro-freedom, pro-liberty presidents we've literally had in decades.
I think like so many of the guys from his era, he's just an old man that's crabby. And okay. he picked the easiest target, you know, to whine and bitch about.
Yeah, I have yet to meet or even have a... you know, just a rational sit down discussion with somebody who was anti-Trump to find out what their real beef was.
Well, you can't find that person.
That again, and without using the CNN, MSNBC talking points. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, is that true or is that just what you heard?
Yeah, dude, the person you're looking for doesn't exist.
I agree.
You know, the person you're looking for that could be rational about things, if they hate Trump, they can't even say that Trump did a good thing. Not one. It was 4 years of absolute terror and tyranny. And
yet Trump didn't start any wars. He didn't do any. He made the economy better. He made the unemployment better. He made us energy independent. He put sanctions or tariffs on China. He brought back companies who didn't want to do business in this country because the price to do business here was much too high.
All these guys are celebrating the fact that Biden turned all that around in a month.
I don't get it.
I don't choose to get it. I don't want to get it. You know,
it's really a bizarre thing. It's just really weird.
Is what it is, dude. People are fucking, you know, led by the media and they're stupid.
I know.
It's simple. I mean, we could talk circles around this for years. It's the people are stupid. If you voted for Biden, you're a fucking moron, period. It's just that simple. There's no argument to have. There's no discussion to have. There's not a legitimate reason to vote for this guy other than fucking Orange Man was mean, you know? But I'll give you I'll even take that back. I'll give Biden a piece of good work, which I want to personally thank him for because he's made me some money. Thank you, Joe Biden, for scaring everybody into Bitcoin because Bitcoin hit 48,000 this week. By comparison, I think 3 weeks ago it was at 30,000 in the Bitcoin market. So it's almost it's closing in on doubling in a month thanks to fucking stupid Joe Biden. So thank you, Joe. You're making me money, you fucking cocksucking cunt face.
I wish I had stock in some kind of a ammunition company.
Oh, yeah.
Because I get daily updates from Outdoor Sports, I think it's called, and I bought ammunition from them. They go, we're receiving ammunition in by the truckloads.
Nice.
You know, by the truckloads. It's like, what is going on here where people feel, and again, I know the answer, but I'm just throwing this as a rhetorical. People buying ammunition and guns like they're going out of style, which maybe they are.
It might be. People are looking to buy them and bury them in their backyard or something. Just in case.
Yeah. I've got a whole lockbox, strong box here full of ammunition.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go buy more.
Yeah, I'm going to get more.
So it's like, again, it sounds maybe irrational or whatever, but fuck that, man. Assholes.
No, here's what it is.
No, nobody was doing that when Trump was in office. Nobody. Nobody was saying, oh man, Trump's going to do this, that, and the other. We better buy up the guns and the
ammunition. That's not true. That's not true. Not, they weren't buying it because of Trump, but they, dude, weapons have been the last year. Weapons have been going out of style for the last year because people were afraid of the fucking Antifa coming to their neighborhoods.
No, they weren't buying it because of Trump. They were buying it because of uprising. Yeah, because of the uprisings with the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa. It wasn't because of Trump.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said they weren't buying it because of Trump. They were buying it because of Antifa, but weapons sales have been, it's been hard to get a weapon or ammunition for a year. For a full year, because
I know that as a fact, because I've gone to the gun stores and their shelves and their gun cases are empty.
They're empty. Yeah, they're empty.
I mean, we've talked about it here because I want that Black Rain, you know, rifle, and I can't get a hand, you know, get my hands on one of those.
Right.
So, you know, I get it, but my point is now it's even worse than ever.
Oh yeah, of course. Because people are getting ready for the fucking welcoming of fucking aliens and whatever into their fucking cities.
Exactly.
You know, they're, what a fucking tool bag this fucking guy is. He's gonna lock down fucking travel in and out of Florida, but he's gonna open the fucking border. What a fucking meathead.
Well, here's the thing. He again, everything that Trump did, he wanted to reverse.
Of course.
So he you know, temporarily reversed the travel bans from various places because of the COVID, but then he turned around and reinstituted them immediately.
Right.
Because it was like advised against. It was just like, well, you know, Trump said this was bad, so I'm going to make it, you know, the other way. And then he turned around and did it, but he was the biggest, loudest opponent of Trump to say, you're locking down travel from China and this and that from these other countries because you're a xenophobe and you're a racist.
Right.
And then he turned around and did the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, he's a lying piece of shit, just like all politicians, which is why I fucking hate them all.
Yeah, they I wish they all die in a fire.
No, you can't wish that, because then you get the knock at your door.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you wouldn't be sad if you heard it, though.
No, of course not. Well, somebody else who I wish would die in a fire.
Yeah, who?
Bruce Springsteen.
Why? He's a great singer.
No, he's not.
He's great.
This guy is one of the biggest dirt bags, cunt bags, not dirt bag, but cunt bag out there. Since we're talking about Dee Snider, who hails from New York. Well, this guy's right across the river in New Jersey.
To the river he rides.
Yeah, exactly. Over in New Jersey.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I think the little tangent we went off on with the whole Larry King.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, I did not watch 1 second of the Super Bowl.
Either.
Not 1 second. I didn't watch any of the commercials aside from the ones that you sent over to me.
Yeah, I did watch some of the commercials.
I did not watch any of the commercials.
Okay.
And I'm only aware of these commercials because you sent them to me.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't look for them. Don't care. I'm just fed up with professional sports. I'm fed up with the NFL. I'm fed up with anything that is supports all this leftist agenda bullshit.
Sure.
Well, you know, Brucey Springsteen, he's one of these lefties.
Big time.
Big time. Anyway, I guess because you sent me the commercial, I wasn't aware of it, but mm-hmm. you sent me the commercial he did with Jeep.
Yeah.
About meeting in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, now that Biden is president, now it's okay to meet in the middle.
I gotta tell you guys, it's about time that we get together as a country and just meet in the middle.
Sure.
I'm out here in my Jeep in the great state of Kansas, where the dirt roads are just leading to.
I thought it was Nebraska. It wasn't Nebraska.
I think it's Missouri. I don't know, Kansas or something.
I'm making a Bruce Springsteen reference here in Nebraska. Right. Wasn't that an album?
Yeah.
Nebraska.
In Nebraska, and if you look in that building in the left, you'll see the ghost of Tom Joad.
Yeah, of course. Tom Joad was in Youngstown.
I don't know. I don't. As much as I have all these records, I don't know what he's talking about.
See, I'm not a fan, but I know all.
You know more than I do.
Because I'm just a geek when it comes to trivia bullshit.
Yeah, I just hum along to him. His tunes are hummable.
They are hummable. That's
Larry King told me.
Of course. All these guys are just dickheads.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
They are. I definitely agree. It's the worst thing in the world is, and we used to say it before there was social media, was you don't want to meet your idols because you find out that they're dicks.
Yeah.
Social media and being overexposed has let us know how many of these guys are truly dicks.
Yep.
And I hate to say it, I was a huge Springsteen is one that I listen to a lot less because he's such a dick. And I was a huge fan of Springsteen.
I've never liked Springsteen. I've always been a Mellencamp guy, and he's a big douchebag when it comes to politics too. He's a socialist.
I know he's straight up, but he at least admits it. I'll give it to him. He admits that he's a socialist. Springsteen is a fucking communist disguised as the speaker for the broken people, man. Yeah,
he's a speaker for the blue collar man. Yeah. The hard working guy, the hard hats, the roughnecks.
I'm just telling the stories that you guys are living. I'm just telling the stories.
Shut up, Bruce.
Shut up. Asshole, you got a fucking $500 million. Fuck off.
Anyway, Bruce did a basically a touchy feely commercial during the Super Bowl for Jeep.
Yeah.
And if you watch the Super Bowl or if you know anything about it, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to rehash the whole thing, but it was just such a propaganda garbage.
Sure.
And shame on Jeep for even buying into that garbage. But anyway, Bruce Springsteen was with fans when he was charged with a DUI or DWI. And he failed the sobriety tests.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mr. Drunky Drunkerson.
I love that story.
Yeah. So here he is preaching to the world on one of the biggest broadcast days of the year, the Super Bowl, about, you know, personal responsibility and how we should live and all these other things. But here's an old fuck. How old is Bruce Springsteen?
71.
Really? Is that old? Yeah, he is 71. Springsteen is 71. Mm-hmm. Basically preaching to the rest of the world how you should live.
Yeah.
And this fucking old dude, 71 years old, he gets busted for a DUI.
You know, I just think we all need to reunite. We need to reunite as a people. And what better place to do that than at the local bar? In fact, I think I'll buy for everybody and I'll drive everybody home in my Jeep.
Shut up, you cocksmoke. New Jersey rock icon Bruce Springsteen's blood alcohol content was 0.02, just a quarter of New York or New Jersey's legal limit.
So when he's not. How is that drunk driving?
So what it says, 0.02.
That's not drunk.
Yeah, 0.08 is drunk.
Yeah.
When he was arrested on Sandy Hook, isn't that where that fake shooting took place, according to Alex Jones?
Somebody missed me with their bullets, but I'm here to reunite the people at right. the bar.
At Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Now, find the timeline here interesting.
Okay.
In November.
November?
That this happened in November.
Oh, so they kept it quiet for the Super Bowl.
Well, see, I think you've touched on, this.
Mm-hmm.
Here, kids, if you're not aware, this media that some people rely on for their news and their updates and what's going on out there,
mm-hmm.
they're in collaboration with the big tech. They're in collaboration with the left. They're in collaboration with anybody who has a lot of money. So why is it that this came out days after the Super Bowl and his big Jeep promotion? Why is this now a story? Why didn't this break in November?
Because I don't know.
Well, I'm telling you why. Because Jeep probably put a lot of money into that advertisement. And if this broke before the Super Bowl, they would have had to scrap the ad.
But doesn't it make them look stupid scrapping it one day after?
Well, they got out there though. That's the whole thing. See, this is where we're at in this country with this media. It doesn't matter what happens in the aftermath, as long as the initial story gets out first, and then everybody's already indoctrinated with it, because nobody goes back to do the revisionary thing. Everybody just takes everything firsthand, but they don't go back and go, oh yeah, that's all bullshit. No, they listen to it first, and then they go, oh my God, did you see the Bruce Springsteen ad? Blah, 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 blah. But then the retraction or the revision comes out later. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, but what did, and I'm asking, I'm not trying to be a dick or even the devil's advocate.
Well, I think you're being
Chris. Well, I'm always being a dick.
Don't even question it.
What does?
I want to take the Democrats' stance.
Right.
Don't you dare question anything I say here.
Sorry. What does Jeep get out of it?
Well, they probably paid Bruce a shit ton of money.
True.
And if they had to scrap the ad, it would be money that was wasted.
Okay, but they're still, it's still a loss though, don't you think? Because nobody's going to remember that commercial. All they're going to remember is that he got fucking busted the day after.
No, that's not what they're going to remember. They're going to remember, oh, how touching and how moving that was.
You think?
Yeah, because after the Super Bowl is over, people aren't going to go back and go, oh yeah, I remember seeing that. Fuck that Bruce Springsteen and that hypocrite. That's not going to happen. They're not that involved. It's quick sound bites. And it's just like, I saw what I saw. I'm not going to go. See, here's the thing with the whole media these days. They report shit that isn't true, or it's skewed, or there's a twist to it. And it gets out there, but even though they might have to retract or revise whatever it is that they reported,
mm-hmm.
people only go with the initial report.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they can go back and say, well, we retracted that statement, but the public has already been tainted. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, nobody, yeah. No.
The initial impact is what's important. Then you can go back and go, oh, well, you know, we were kind of mistaken, or, well, maybe we took that out of context. And nobody cares at this point.
Right.
They're on to the next thing.
Well, I agree with you in some sense. I'm going to disagree in the fact that I just pulled the commercial up on YuckTube, and it actually has more dislikes than so it didn't benefit them.
No, on YouTube maybe, but the how many people who actually tuned in and watched the Super Bowl are going back to rewatch that commercial or comment on it now?
I'd imagine a bunch now that he fucking
maybe, but is the percentage higher than the people who actually saw it initially?
Oh no, no, no.
Or is it much lower?
Much. It was 105,000.
All right. People. So it's a what do you want to call it? It's a
tiny percent.
Yeah. It's collateral damage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same percentage.
But the thing is the fact is they got it out there.
Sure.
Now the collateral damage is maybe a third.
Boy, these comments are
or a quarter or whatever it is. But the point got out there. That's the whole thing.
Sure. Listen to some of these comments real quick. They're fucking funny. Please drink responsibly, Jeep. Maybe it should have been a Coors commercial instead.
Right.
I missed the part where he's pulled over blowing the breathalyzer.
Yeah.
I pray Brucey was not consuming alcohol while filming this faux shit.
No, there you go.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, again, the irony is that Bruce is filming or voicing over a commercial about a vehicle that you drive when he got busted for a DUI.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It's
fucking hilarious.
It's ironic.
I love it.
But why was it kept quiet for 2 months?
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's the whole thing. This goes to show you how much collusion, and I think we all should be familiar with that word, since for 3 years of Trump's presidency, all you heard was collusion, collusion, collusion.
Right.
Well, this was collusion. This was collusion to keep this under wraps for as long as they did, because Jeep spent a ton of money and Bruce is this blue collar working man, and he's going to make this impact on this Super Bowl commercial.
Right.
And then after the fact, now it comes out.
All right. I'm going to let you answer this one because it's in the chat room.
All right.
Neely is off with his Springsteen take. The left/money did not approve of his commercial or the message. The DUI coming out was their payback.
They didn't approve of his message?
Well, that's what this guy's saying.
I don't know. I thought that was a very lefty message, if you ask me.
Thought he was just saying to reunite the country.
No, I think that he was like, well, now that Trump is gone,
yeah, now we can reunite.
We can reunite.
We can get back together as one, man.
Exactly.
That's an interesting different take. Hadn't heard that one before.
All right. Anyway, when he was arrested on Sandy Hook in November and charged with driving while intoxicated, a source familiar with the case told the Asbury Park Press, the legal threshold indicating intoxication for driving purposes in New Jersey is 0.08, which calls into question why Bruce Springsteen was even charged with driving while intoxicated.
Who wants to be the cop in Jersey giving Springsteen a DWI? Talk about a career suicide.
Of course.
Jesus, that dude probably has death threats at his house.
Springsteen, 71, a native of Freehold, who lives in Colts Neck, was arrested November 14th at Gateway National Reservation area on Sandy Hook, a federal park, and issued citations for driving while intoxicated, reckless driving, and consuming alcohol in a closed area, according to the National Park Service.
Are you kidding me? So Springsteen's hanging out with a bunch of fans fucking passing a fucking bottle?
That sounds like it.
It's fucking Bruce Springsteen. Is that how he stays in touch with the normal man?
I guess he's keeping it real.
Hey guys, have a hit of my ripple with me and tell me your stories of woe.
Right. Not a hit. Take a pull.
Take a pull and tell me about how the factory closed down and now your pregnant wife is fucking having a miscarriage. I need to know for my new album.
Right. The charges were first reported Wednesday by Hollywood gossip news site TMZ.
Okay.
Because the arrest took place on federal land, the case will be heard in federal court and will be handled by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Newark. Matthew Riley, spokesman for the U.S. Attorney Office, said he had no details about the November traffic stop. He said the tickets are not public documents. Daphne Young, spokeswoman for the National Park Service, said Springsteen was cooperative throughout the whole arrest.
Why not? Because there's no fine they can give him that matters to him. It's a DWI. They're right. Not going to give Bruce Springsteen jail time.
Exactly.
They're not going to give him jail time. So even if the fine is $100,000, what's that going to mean to Bruce Springsteen? That'd be like fining me and you a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Because $100,000, that's just interest on his daily wealth.
Yeah, I could just see him now. He'll be like, "Your Honor, I know I got in trouble there on the federal land, but I'd just like to remind you that I played Hillary's inauguration. If you could show some leniency to me, because I sold myself out to the man."
Right.
Oh, okay, not guilty.
Exactly. Bruce Springsteen is due to appear before Judge Anthony Mutone by way of a video conference, you know, because of the COVID, of course. Yeah,
of course.
In what is known as an enclave court, which is like a federal version of the municipal court. Those courts handle all local charges of offenses that occur on federal lands within what is otherwise state jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Riley did not immediately know the date of the upcoming court appearance. Springsteen has no prior DWIs, traffic or parking tickets or other charges in New Jersey listed in the municipal court records. Attempts to reach Springsteen's representatives were unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. Upon news of Springsteen's arrest, Jeep removed its 2-minute film, The Middle, from its social media sites. The film first aired Sunday during the Super Bowl. Yeah. See, that's kind of what I'm driving at. How is it that this was kept quiet for 2 months? The Super Bowl happens, this Jeep commercial airs, and then it gets reported. How did that happen?
Don't know. Whoever it is, they got a lot of power.
That's kind of where I'm going with this. It's the collusion all the time.
What do you think he'll be sentenced to? An hour or two of house arrest?
Please.
2 hours of house arrest?
Please.
From midnight till 2 a.m. You know he ain't going to get nothing. Nothing. Not. He's going to cut a commercial. Do you know that's what it's going to be? He'll get some kind of bullshit community service and it'll be, "Hey, this is Bruce Springsteen. Just want to tell you, you should hire a driver when you go out and get fucked up." For me, it'd be a limousine, but for you, it might be Uber, but that's a good idea. Get yourself an Uber. Hopefully it'll be made by Jeep. He's got to save face with Jeep. How pissed must Jeep be?
Well, again, they probably were aware of it.
Yeah.
And they were just like, "Do us a favor. Just keep this under wraps until after the Super Bowl."
Yeah. Jeez, how much? I mean, they must have paid Springsteen $5 million.
Well, again, that's my point.
I know. I'm just saying they must have paid $5 million for that. They probably paid $2 million to, well, no, it was a 2-minute commercial during the Super Bowl. Because it's $2 million. It's like $1.5 million for 30 seconds. So $6 million to air the commercial. Holy shit.
So they had a shit ton of money already invested in this. And it was like, what can we do to keep this under wraps until after?
Yeah.
You know, we got to get our bang for the buck. And, you know, if you release this information now, this is going to fuck us for $10 million.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of public service announcements.
Yes.
Let's do a little throwback here.
Okay.
Somebody else who had to do a public service announcement, even though he was still fucked up on drugs.
Okay.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years. I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong. I still party with the best of them. But now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
Yeah. Sure is. Hey, everybody. It's the boss, Bruce Springsteen. I just want to tell you. When you go down to the river, make sure that that river's dry, especially when you're there drinking. I think you should drink water like I do now.
Yeah, fair.
Please don't drink and drive. It's bad for you.
Right.
You're going to get a ticket and you might have to pay out a little bit of that $5 million like I did. You might have to. Thank you very much.
Right.
Hi, I'm Vince Neil of Motley Crue. We're on the road a lot in New York State, and we worry about drunk drivers just like you. We don't want to get hit. So Governor Cuomo asked me to help him keep drunk drivers off the road. They killed or injured 19,000 people in New York State last year, and 1,500 were teenagers. We don't want to lose any of our fans. We want them alive. Come on, New York. If you drink, don't drive.
That's a lot of people, New York. I only killed one myself, but you guys killing a lot more than me, Vince Neil. Right. I only killed one person last year. How many did you guys kill? Thousands.
Right.
The fuck? How can they have Vince Neil doing a don't drink and drive? Even if that was his sentence, that's a dumb thing to do.
Well, again, it's just politics. Everything just plays a part.
We need you alive, unlike Hanoi Rocks' drummer, who I killed. Jesus Christ, are you kidding me?
Wow. Here, make a DUI commercial and we'll cut you loose.
Hey, it's me, Vince Neil from Motley Crue. I may have maimed two people for life, but they weren't Motley Crue fans, so they don't matter. Let's make sure that none of our Motley Crue fans die from drunk driving this year, okay? Thank you, Vince.
Well, that's a prime example of a guy who actually killed somebody and, you know, basically walked away for nothing.
Yeah. Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
I know his first gig out of jail was Cleveland. I do know that.
All right.
I was at that show.
There you go. A little trivia.
Yeah. Theater of Pain.
Nice. All right. Well, again, the media in collusion with the, you know, big corporate companies.
Sure.
And they just say, you know what? All right. Well, we'll play along. But, you know, the day after the Super Bowl, we're going to release this information we've been sitting on.
Right.
And that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who listens to corporate media or social media for their news, you're a bunch of bullshit. It's just a bunch of bullshit.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, don't listen to that.
Sure.
Seek it out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to know what's going on out there, just seek it out on your own.
Yeah, it's out there. Just got to look a little deeper.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to try to stay on track here. So what do you say we take a break?
You want to take a break already?
Well, you know, we're kind of like our segments are running long.
Are they?
Well, it's what we're into the third segment now.
Yeah.
And it's like 10 after the hour.
Yeah. That's fine. That's fine with me. I mean,
I don't care. I mean, how long have we been going here?
33 minutes.
All right. I don't care if you want to stick.
Let's do one more story and then we'll go.
All right. No problem. All right. Let me see here. What else we got? because I want to get into this thing with this Rachel Gordon thing.
All right. Well, here, I got a quick one.
Yeah, which we'll do next segment.
Yeah, we'll do that next. Mm-hmm. I got something quick. Would you like to help a friend of ours record his new album?
Okay, who?
David Redman.
Okay.
He, and this is going to make you absolutely crazy. He wants to do a solo album. He's, for those that don't know, he's the lead singer of Pink Cream 69. And he does Voodoo Circle. He just put out a new album, literally, I think this week with Voodoo Circle. He's performed with a bunch of other people. Well, now he wants to do a second solo album. He, remember 13 years ago, he did a solo record.
I do recall that.
And we had him on, we've had him on several times. Well, now David is out there looking to do a solo, another record, but you have to do the GoFundMe in order to
get it. Well, again, this is really nothing new. I mean, this has been going on for the last decade,
right?
That, you know, we talked about this earlier in the show, that there's really no record label support, right? And there's really no outlet for new music and whatnot. But, you know, these artists, they try to make a package that is, you know, makes people go, well, if I donate, you know, they'll put my name on the CD cover, and, you know, or they'll put me inside as a thank you, or, you know, and that's cool, I guess. If you're a hardcore fan, good for you.
Yeah. Now, but this is GoFundMe. This isn't like Patreon or something where if you bid $10, you get this. And if you bid 20, you get that. And if you bid 50, you get this. This is, well, I'm going to let him tell you. You're going to laugh because he's saying a lot of the same things that you're saying right now. But there's like no definition to it. It's like, wow. I don't know, because, you know, I would support it, and I probably will anyway, just because I like David a lot. But I just listened to this thing, and I was like, dude, you gotta flesh it out a little better than this.
Well, I threw our friend Mariah some money.
Yeah.
I threw her some cash.
Sure. We'll support it. If, like, I'll support David because he's been a cool guest on the show several times, you know, but. Wait, tell me if this feels just like, well, I got this idea and now I just need to get you guys to pay for it.
Okay.
You know, and again, I'm not shitting on him. I like the guy, but this is just, I don't know.
It's tough times we live in for artists.
It is. It definitely is. And he goes into all that.
Okay.
So here's David himself talking about, I don't know. We'll play all this. It's 6.5 minutes long, but we'll play a little of this and then we'll just stop me along the way when you want to talk about something.
All right.
Hi, my name's David Redman. And if you've clicked on this link or you've maybe stumbled on this link, you found your way to my GoFundMe website. My name's David Redman. I'm the singer of Pink Cream 69, Voodoo Circle, many other artists. I've been very lucky. I've spent the last 30 years making music. I'm a singer. Music's been very good to me. Made many records. But this time, it's time to make my second solo record. This is a really important thing for me. It's like 13 years since I made my first one, which was released by a record company. The difference is with the second record is it's Corona times, which makes it very difficult to find a record company. And more than anything, I want to make this record myself. This is a really important thing for me. Making a solo record is almost like having a baby. Now, I've never had a baby, but I imagine it to be possibly like that.
All right. So- all right. Well, first of all, it sounds like he launched a new newspaper, the Corona Times.
Yeah, the Corona Times.
But here's the thing, and again, this is what I've tried to shy away from when it comes to this show, but how important it is to him. This is important to me. this is something that I'm want to do. I can't tell you how important this is to me, and but I need you guys to pay for it.
Yeah.
And
here's my thought, and tell me if you think I'm crazy on this.
Okay.
David Reedman has played on how many Pink Cream 69 records? 10 or something?
At least.
You know, and he's in Tank. He's done two or three albums with Tank. He's done two or three albums with Voodoo Circle. I'm looking him up real quick. David Reedman. I should have been more ready for this. But let's see. He has done with Pink Cream 60. He has one solo album. And he has 11 PC 69 records. Three Adagio albums. One album of Anderson Lane and Rhett Reedman. 5 Voodoo Circle records. One Room Experience record. 2 Almanac records. 2 Pendulum of Fortune records.
Wow. Okay.
And a Tank album.
All right. So he's like at 25.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that a guy with that much history can get a deal with Frontiers Records or Cleopatra.
You would think so.
I can't imagine that he couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, PC 69 itself is a fairly big band in Europe, aren't they?
I think they're very viable in Europe as far as I know.
Yeah, I just have a heart, and I know Voodoo Circle does pretty well, you know, and they just put out a record on Frontiers, I think. I think it's on Frontiers. So it's like, you know, I have a hard time thinking that he's going to struggle to get an album. The only caveat I think that could be with this is that he's planning to do a record that doesn't sound like any of this.
Okay.
And that to me is a little scary to put money behind, that he's not going to do, you know, what we've known him to do. Make sense?
I would think so. I think that, you know, again, I think he's relying on the hardcores, but what I find funny is that he starts off with, you stumbled across this, and he has to introduce himself as the singer. And, you know, he's been doing this for 30 years. And, you know, the people who would support something like this already know who this guy is.
Yeah.
You would think anyway.
I would think. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's trying to reach people that don't know who he is, but.
But I find that weird because if you're just a dude that nobody ever heard of, and this guy, again, he points out, I've got a 30-year career.
Yeah.
He would be appealing to his bass fans, his hardcore bass fans. That,
right.
Yeah, David Reedman is trying to do something on a solo record. I love his work, regardless of what he did, whether it was a solo album or his Pink Cream 69 or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
They would probably be all in to go, yeah, I support him because I'm a fan of the bands and his work and all this other stuff. But the pandering, I don't like that part at all. I don't like it either.
And I want to be fair to David here because, again, I do like David. He's not asking for a shit ton of money either. You know, sometimes you see these things and they're asking for like $40,000 or something like that.
Asking for about $5,000.
€5,000. So yeah, whatever that equals. $8,000 or something.
Yeah, of course. So I know that the average cost for making a record these days is around between five and 10,000.
Right.
It's not a lot of money.
It's not.
I mean, when you think about what they spent back in the 80s, especially, they spent, you know, upwards to $1 million.
Sure.
To make a record. Mm-hmm. And now today they can do it for $5,000 to $10,000.
Sure. Yeah, it's much cheaper than it ever has been before. But, you know, I'll put the link if people want to donate on the page on our video. So there you go. You want to watch some more?
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. David's either getting shit on here or he's getting a 20-minute advertisement for his GoFundMe, or a little of both. Here we go.
Let's go over a few points. who benefits from this? Well, I've been asked so many times over the last few years, David, when are you going to make a new solo record? Who benefits? Well, you do, the fans. You benefit. And this time around, it's going to be different because I've already made a video. I'm going to do many making of videos, live stuff when I finally record the vocals. So you can be a big part of this, you know, this time around. So it's basically you. Of course, I'm going to benefit. I'm going to make the solo record I always dreamt of making. But of course, you're going to benefit because you're going to be really, you know, you're going to become a really big part of this whole process of making my new solo record.
Do you feel beneficial there?
No.
You're going to benefit.
Yeah. You're going to allow me to do what I love, but you are going to be the beneficiary of the end product.
Yeah, because you can watch videos of me making the album.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Here we go. Here's the next benefit.
What do I use the money for? Really simple. I will not be going shopping with this money. Times are difficult. And I've already had donations, quite substantial donations, which I'm really thankful for. Thanks to everybody that's donated so far. Not going to mention anybody's names, but those names are going to be on the record. Anybody that donates to this record will be listed on the final artwork on the CD. And of course, there'll be other things involved, depending, of course, how much you invest in the record. If you spend like 30 euros and more, you've already ordered the CD. I'll make a list of all the names.
Now, how do you know that, though? You know, it's a GoFundMe. There's no tears or anything.
Right.
That's where he lost me. Was like, dude, because if it was 30 euros, whatever that equals in American dollars, I would throw that out there just to get a copy of the record with a credit in it.
Yeah, you know? And again, this is the whole selling point. It's just like, look at me, I got my name on the record.
Yeah, and that's cool. I think it's cool, but I don't see anywhere on the page or anywhere that's guaranteed. It's just him saying it right here, and that's, you know, I guess we trust him.
Well, he's David.
Yeah, well, there's that.
He's our pal, David. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right, go ahead.
Names that will be then on the CD, and you've already ordered the CD, so you've already bought the CD. So basically, you're sort of investing in front kind of thing, you know. You know, and basically, you know, it's not going to cost the world to make this record, but these things do cost money. The big costs are the mix. That costs money. Mix and master, you know, the people who do this kind of work, they need their money. Luckily, the musicians are going to be many different musicians involved, drummers, guitar players and everything. People I've met, friends I've met over the years. And they're going to input, you know, put an input basically more or less for free. Of course, they're going to get promotion on the record, and it's going to be as pushed as much as I can on my vlog and on Facebook. I believe I'm going to sell quite a few records of my first record. I sold a lot of my first solo album. It will be released on Spotify, on CD Baby. So of course it will be streamable, but to have the...
So it'll be free. If you don't want to contribute, it'll be free.
Right. So you'll get it regardless of you, if you donate or not. But I guess the whole specialness of it is just like, I helped make that record, man.
Yeah, but your name won't be on Spotify, will it?
No, but I guess if you got your physical copy in your hand, you can open up that booklet and see your name in there.
Right. Okay, here's some more.
The physical CD, I'm going to make a limited edition of the CD. So, you know, basically it's up to you now to order it, spend your money, and you've already ordered the CD.
Was this the Rev?
I'm thinking that's the case. You buy me the shirts, you pay the money, and I'll make you t-shirts.
You know, we might have to go and edit out all of our smacking on the Rev back in the day. The Rev might just have been ahead of his time.
All right.
All right, here we go.
It's going to be a great record.
How do you know? Wait a minute.
How do you know?
That just making a statement like that alone, it's like, it's going to be a great record.
Okay.
Why do you say that? Because it's you?
Yeah. I would hope it's going to be great if you're going to take my money for it.
But just to make a statement like that alone, it's just like, it would just be like you and I opening the show and go, well, you're tuned into what's going to be a great show tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be a great show because it could be a dog shit.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
And what is that? Does that mean that all the others weren't great? So this one is going to be great versus the other ones? I mean, what are we saying here?
It's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great record.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it?
I hope so.
Okay.
He does have a history of making great records, but
he does. I agree. I like Pink Green 69.
I do too. I like Voodoo Circle too. It's a good band. All right, here we go.
At least in March. So you'll get a flavor of, you know, where we're looking at. There's going to be a video. It's going to be making ofs. And anybody that, you know, invests in this record, they're going to be really close and be a big part of this record. Right. So it's money. You know, money's going
all
to
right,
be.
All right. So when you use a term investor, what do you, as an investor in anything, what is your expectation?
Well, I'm expecting them to send me demos so that I could tell them what to change.
Well,
I'm kidding. I'm
not even speaking of music specifically. I'm just talking about being an investor.
Well, like you're an owner.
Yeah. You're going to get something in return for your investment. And so if he sells, let's just go on the outside, if he sells 1 million copies, if it were to go platinum, are you also going to get a cut of the residuals from that as well?
Absolutely not.
See, that's my point.
Yeah, you're not investing. You're pre-ordering is what you're doing.
You're supporting.
Yeah,
you're not investing, you're supporting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right, here we go.
All right.
And on mix, artwork, and making the physical CDs, you know, producing the real CD that will be then sent to you. How happy am I that you're going to spend the money? It's amazing. I've already had donations. And
well, wait a minute. So he's happy that you're going to spend the money.
It's a big selling point, Neely.
So more or less, I'm just like, you're going to buy this fucking thing.
And you're going to make me happy.
Yeah. It's all about me and my satisfaction.
That's right. All right.
I didn't cry, but you know, it's an emotional thing. It's really incredible. The mix is paid for the first song, and a good part of the artwork is more or less paid for. You know, obviously the album cover and everything. The rest of the artwork needs to be funded, and that's why I'm obviously coming to this website.
All right, hold up.
You might question.
So the artwork is the most important part here?
That's important.
He said that most of the artwork is already funded.
That's what he said.
So what does this artist do? He gets like halfway through with the rendition of whatever it is. It looks like he goes, well, I've run out of cash. I can't finish it.
Half colored picture. The rest is in stencil.
Exactly. It's like a half finished tattoo. You know, it's all colored in, but 30% of it's colored in. The rest of it is just outlined.
Yeah. No ink for you unless you pay me.
Yeah, pal. Don't make me call Tony Soprano, okay?
Yeah, pal.
Yeah. So you know, he talks less about the music and more about the artwork.
Yeah, and the mix.
Yeah.
Which, good for him that he's mixing it. I'm glad to hear he's.
But he said it's only one song that's paid for.
Yeah.
Typically, what a CD has like 11,
10 or 11,
11, maybe even 12 songs if it's a long disc.
Mm-hmm.
But only one song there's only been enough funds for one song,
right?
And the artwork, because that's important.
So far. All right, want more?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
And, you know, what about record companies and stuff like that? These are difficult times. I have no doubt that I probably could find something. But these days, record companies don't necessarily invest that much into a record. And you give up the rights of your record for a long time. I'm not necessarily ready to do this. And I believe that with this record and with the tools that are out there, YouTube, CD Baby, and all those kind of things, it's also possible to promote a record. It's never going to be the same as with a record company, but I still want to hold on to my rights, you know.
And this is why I want to support this.
Okay.
Personally, this is why I'm going to throw this guy whatever 30 euros equals, you know, because I want the record, obviously. But I like the fact that an established guy is putting both middle fingers up to the industry. I like that a lot. And saying, I'm going to hold on to my shit and I'm going to do it myself. I don't know about you, but I like that.
All right.
Here we go. Here,
30 euros to dollars.
Yeah.
It's 36 bucks.
All right. That's fine. That's fine.
Right. I'm going to up the ante a little bit. I'm going to throw them 100 bucks.
Look at you. Big money.
It's not big money.
Big money, Neely.
Let's see here. If 30 euro is $36, I'm going to throw him what? 95 euro.
Look at you.
Something like that. Let me see. You're gonna, 95. You're
get your name in bold on the credits.
That 95 euro is 115. So I'm going to back that off a little bit. So I'm going to go with 90.
90 euros.
That's 109 bucks. So I'm gonna go with 89 euro or 85 euros to dollar. That's 103. I'm getting closer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to 82 euro. Let's see, euros to dollars. 99.39.
There you go. That's what you're doing.
82 euros.
You're going to give him 82 euros.
Because I want to see my name on that solo record, goddammit.
Yeah. You're going to get a bold and an underline for that much money.
Yeah.
That's going to be solid.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw him 82 euros.
All right. And I'm throwing him 30 more.
All right.
We might have just mixed the song, Neely.
I'm going to pay for half of that music video.
Yeah. I'm going to pay for the top left corner of the album cover.
So yes, I'm going to throw him 82 euros.
All right, cool.
Yep.
And I'm going to throw him 30 more. So there we go.
All right, cool.
We're going to take care of David Reedman.
There we go.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Who's involved?
Keep playing.
All right, here we go.
Many different people, be it Germany, France, Belgium, UK. I've co-written a lot of these songs with a good friend of mine from Belgium. Some big names involved. Slowly but surely, they're coming in. They're going to be doing their part of the whole journey. A lot of people recording at home. Also, drummers, of course, which is really important. We're in the lockdown at the moment, so it's almost impossible to travel anywhere. It is still possible to make records. My first record, my solo record, I also made it in this way, even though there wasn't any lockdown. But it was, you know, internet makes it possible. Plus and negative points. Basically, you can trust me. We're going to make a record together. If you want to pledge some money, you want to order the CD, maybe you want to get a bit more.
All right. He's going to make a record together.
Yeah, we're going to make a record together.
So do I get any creative input?
Yeah, you get the creativity of how your name is spelled on that album cover.
Well, we're going to make a record together.
Yeah.
I want to be, I want to be personally involved. I want to be Tom Weirman here.
I want to be the executive producer.
Right.
Can I get that for 50 euro? Can I be the executive producer?
Dude, if you're going to be executive producer for 50 and I'm throwing him 82, What does that make me?
Management. CEO of Reedman Industries.
Upper management.
Yeah, you're the CEO of Reedman Industries.
I want to be, Let's see. What could my position be?
You could be
for 82 euro. I mean, seriously, I should get
how about chief of song development and master of mixing.
I want to be the John Klodner of Mr. Reedman.
And for 82 euros, you should be listed twice like Klodner. You should be Wendell Neely, Wendell Neely.
Exactly. I think that's the way to go.
I think so.
If it's not John Klodner, I think it should be Wendell Neely, Wendell Neely.
I think that's a good plan.
I agree.
For 82 euros.
Let's pass that along to Mr. Reedman.
Well, I'm sure he'll probably see this. All right, here we go.
All right.
We can work on certain things that we can do that's really nice to make up for, obviously anything that you've invested. You're going to get the CD. We're going to make videos. We're going to have an amazing time.
We're going to have an amazing time.
We are.
Really?
You're not going to go along for the ride, Neil?
I want to be involved in the actual recording process.
Yeah. I want to hold the camera when we're shooting these videos. But I guess I don't get that for only 30 euro.
Yeah.
Sadly.
All right.
All right, here we go.
It's difficult for everybody. Once again, thank you for listening and looking forward to finishing the record and sending it off to you guys. Thank you very much. My name's David Reedman. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Who's this guy again?
I think it's David Reedman.
Who is he? Walter Cronkite.
And this has been the news with David
Walter Cronkite. Good night.
Well, while we are goofing on him, I'm definitely going to support it.
I'll throw him $100.
Yeah, I'm going to throw him. What did you say? I'm throwing him $36.
Yeah, 36.
I'm throwing him 30 euros. That's what he said. I got
him. All right. I'm going to throw him 82 euros.
All right. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. But I want to be listed under, artist development, Wendell Neely, Wendell Neely, much like John Klodner, John Klodner.
Dude, he might hear this and actually do that. It wouldn't shock me. It would not shock me at all if he did that.
That's so funny.
Because he's kind of a rock dude. He gets the joking.
Of course.
I know he'll know we're just fucking with him.
Sure. No, but I will throw him the hundy.
All right. And I'm definitely going to throw him the 30.
All right.
And if other people want to contribute, which if you like Pink Cream 69, which a lot of us do, the link is right here on the video. The link is the GoFundMe link is right there on the video in the scroll. So you could definitely support David Reedman.
Okay.
On his new solo record.
We'll do it.
All right.
All right. All right. Well, since we're talking about David Reedman and Pink Cream 69, as well as his other projects, I thought I'd play something from his Sonic Dynamite release.
All right.
I'm going to play the title track.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Here it is. It's Pink Cream 69 featuring David Reedman, produced by Wendell Neely, Wendell Neely. And here it is. It's Sonic Dynamite exclusively here.
All right. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And you know what else is a lot of fun? The CMS Podcast Network. That's right. CMSPN.com is the address. Make sure you go over there. Make sure you watch the episodes there. You listen to the episodes there. And maybe you even just subscribe so it's delivered to your phone, to whatever podcasting software you use. But do it from CMSPN.com. Once again, CMSPN.com, CMSPN.com, CMSPN.com. We'll see you next time, fucks.